Johnny Ramsey's presentation is important to us, and I want to show you another website. Remember this if you do not have it, and that is tofindagrave.com or the Restoration Movement site. The Restoration Movement site has all this information. You can get to the grave, you can get the historical background of various people, places, and things. Brethren over in Fried Hardeman and down in Alabama, Scott Hart, who went to school with us up yonder in Fried Hardeman, he's a big part of this work. And then, of course, Brother Kilpatrick, he's a big part of this work in Alabama. And Brother Tom Childers, who's still at Fried Hardeman doing this work, is a part of this particular historical movement of the Restoration Movement. That's a place to go, place to be. And I'm going to leave that, and I'm going to take you to another location. If I can get down here to it in a moment. Let me see where the radio site is. WSOJ. The man who owns this thing, his name is ID. he's a radio guy, ID Dykus. But he's a part of this thing. And when we go to this site, we've got WSOJ. Now, people riding around up there in McMinnville, Tennessee, in that area, can go to this particular location on their radio dial, 100.5 FM. And they can, in turn, they can hear what's on the air. They can hear it done. But along the way, Paul Meacham, Jr., here's Johnny Ramsey. He has 11 presentations, and one that he had was right here, called The Godly House, The Godly Family, The Godly Home. 21 minutes of time, and then Larry Lott will come and in person talk about how Jesus would teach the children of our generation. But we're glad to have him here, and good to have y'all here. This is Johnny Ramsey, and the guy that introduces him is a broadcaster up there on that radio station, and he broadcasts for every one of them, and he'll say, this is it.
And now our speaker, Brother John Ramsey. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. Children are inheritance of the Lord. Famous words of the 127th Psalm, verse 1 and 3. It's very striking that the very second chapter of the opening book of the Bible, Genesis, God ordained marriage. He made one man for one woman for life. Exceptions, death, Romans 7, 1 to 4.
John the Baptist said, I'm not the bridegroom. He didn't have the bride, he's the bridegroom. He was increase, I was decrease. And John stepped out of the limelight, the spotlight, into the shadows and pushed Christ, the bridegroom, forward. But the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 11, 2, and Ephesians chapter 5, and other passages that the arrangement of Christ and the church is parallel to the husband and the wife in marriage. And Ephesians 5 says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. And the Christian husband is to live in such a way as to sacrificially live for his wife's sake and her benefit. And she is to keep herself without spot or blemish or any such thing. Ephesians 5, 27. At the end of this week, the discussion of the church being subject to Christ and Christ being the head of the church, he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. So there's a parallel between the bride of Christ and your bride and mine, if we are what we ought to be as bridegrooms. In the Old Testament, several times, Israel and Judah, God's people, are called his bride. Sadly, sometimes, the flippant, gadding, immoral bride, the apostate. Hosea had a wife named Gomer, and he had to go out on the street and buy his own wife back from whoredom and bring her home. And she bore a child that had a name which meant not my people, meaning not even Hosea's child. And God's people prostitute themselves in the world of sin, in Babylon and Persia and Greece and later in Rome. And Jeremiah 2:32 asks the haunting question, can a maiden forget her ornament or a bride her attire? Could a woman ever forget what she wore on her wedding day? But God said, yet you have forsaken me, speaking to Israel and Judah, days without number. So many times in the Bible we read, like 2 Corinthians 11:2, as Paul speaks to the church in Corinth, I was found you as a pure virgin unto Christ. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. In Exodus 20, when God gave the law through Moses to Israel, he said that he was a jealous God. He'd have allowed them to have no other gods before him. He would not allow any opposition to his absolute authority over Israel and Judah, but they were not what they ought to be. In Judges chapter 2, verses 11 to 19, in the despicable era of Judah and Israel's history, he said, you went a whoring after other gods. You were disobedient, you were flippant, you were unfaithful. And so the theme of marriage in the home is carried in a metaphor, symbolically, figuratively, throughout Old and New Testament alike. And if the church is the bride of Christ, I would ask this question, how many brides does he have? Was he a bigamist or a polygamist? That's very interesting. But when we apply that to marriage, God ordained that one man and one woman live together for life. He even told the Christian woman in 1 Corinthians 7:39, if she ever married again, to be sure to marry only in the Lord.
Now, I want to stop at that particular spot because it pertains to what Brother Bradley formerly had spoken about the various voices that come our way. And I want to emphasize those particular matters once again as we discuss with our children the type of things like authority. Who's in authority in the family? Who's in authority in the church? Who's in authority in regard to salvation? The forgiveness of sins, the worship of God, the friends that we choose, the physician of the Lord and his good work and his being a Savior have been already rehearsed in regard to these first 7.5 minutes of this program. Now I want to skip over to another section, and it's right about this particular part right in here. I think that's where my pointer goes. And catch the next part of it, Brother Ramsey's. Brother Ramsey's stuff repeats that, it goes on just a little bit. All right.
More respectful of my parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6, verse 1. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, 4. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 18, teaches us some more on this point. But I would be far more respectful of my mother and father. I wouldn't talk back to them. I wouldn't say angry words to them. It broke my heart when I later remembered what I'd said. I don't know how many times I apologized to my mother for something I said to her on our screened-in back porch up in North Texas. Why did I talk to her like that?
In this section that he went on to talk about how children talk to their and how he talked back to his parents. And the ideas of that I wanted to get in front of us in a little bit of discussion today and very little of it for that fact. But the idea that in discussing with our children and rearing our children, need to let them know what we expect of them and how they treat us as parents. Not just how they treat the mama, and you get in deep trouble if you mess up with mistreating your mama, treating your dad, treating us all, treating grandparents, treating all of us in this family. It's important for you to realize where we are in life. And I thought that this was a blessing and a benefit to get Johnny Ramsey's words in this regard. We loved him and enjoyed him very, very much. Along the way now, when you go to WSOJ.net, .net radio, you will have that .net library in front of you, and you will have the opportunity to go to just dozens and dozens and dozens of sites. There will be here presentations that he did, that he shared with Brother I.D. Dacus and used that. It's been played on radio since he did this, and of course the years have come and gone here. Over 120 times each one has been played. And it's beneficial to people in the community, and whoever will listen and pay attention to it, it'll be good. You have all kinds of topics and authority topics. You have some of these brethren have shared radio broadcasts that they've done back through the years, and there are just hundreds of them. For example, you see one that I noted here, and it's in red here. I thought about using some of his material. Paul Meacham Jr., 347 of these. You actually have 300, and you have the next 150, and so forth, so on. You can go page by page by page, and you've got by alphabetical order questions about sermons that he's done, lessons he's done. Some of them 1 minute stuff, 3 minute stuff, some of them 18 minutes, some 19, but nevertheless, good stuff. He's very sick, I understand, and has brain cancer, and he's continued to work as long as he could there at the Faulkner University, the work there at Alabama Christian. But Paul Meacham has a dad that was an outstanding guy, and he's got a son that's an outstanding fellow. He lives up here at South Haven, lead singing there at South Haven, Paul Meacham. But Paul Meacham Jr. is at his very last, it looks like, physically at his last.
Are all the sermons on that site in gospel?
Yes. They're all for gospel preachers. Brother Dacus wanted that to be the case and wanted that to be the way that it's done. And it's just good to have the availability of all that kind of material. You'll have some people that you never heard their voice. For example, Franklin Camp. I'll utilize some of his stuff because he loved us much down from Montgomery, Alabama and all that area. And he has some of the deepest studies in 30 minutes of most of his are that 30 to 40 minutes or so, and he has just wonderful word studies and wonderful topics. And when one of my students down that way, Alan Drury, you met him, he's from over around Kowloon City, and he does work with physical therapy and everything. He and his wife both do every day. And he preaches for the church out there at Pine Bluff, out at the Takapola community. And when he moved down there to do his studies and certify to be a physical therapist, he went to church there at Shade Mountain, where Brother Franklin Kemp preached for years and years and served as a leadership of the church there. They had all this material back there in Brother Kemp's library, and he was privy to it. And he got back there and got in this thing, and he was reading and reading and reading. And I said to him one day, he was talking about that, and I said, do you know that he has a site on Brother Dyke's radio program, and you can hear what he said? And he said, oh, no, you mean I've been... He's been reading all that sort of thing. Now, he goes to the site, and he gets to listen to what he read about David and Goliath, God's will in Scripture, and on down the line, all the stuff. He gets to hear what he's saying there, because Brother Kemp not only wrote the material, but he also used it in his speaking occasions at Fried Hardeman and at there at Faulkner and wherever he asked to come and speak. He did it on a manuscript basis. And good material. Yes, sir.
I got the chance yesterday while I was in my study yesterday afternoon to tune into WSOJ.
Oh, now.
I got to listen to Marshall Keeble.
Oh.
And the title of his sermon was, There's Water in
the
Plan. That is one of the best I've ever heard. It's just as plain as it can be.
It was plain.
But this station being streamed online is one of the biggest blessings
that
we could have to That's hear it. All of these... pioneer preachers.
That's it.
As it were.
Marshall Keeble. There's water in the plan. That's right it. There. 26 minutes. 119 times it's been broadcast from that day. Well, what a deal. What a deal. You'll hear Brother Hardeman on here. He's got a site. He's got a location. They did some of his stuff. And Andrew Connolly, who passed away several years ago, was a good friend of Brother Warren, Thomas Warren. Even Jimmy Ferguson's got a couple of things on this. How about this? New Testament baptism and the New Test Church for the New Testament. All right. He grew up here, right here at Crockett. That's what he did. How about this? But anyway, yeah, gets a B.C. Good pastor. One of the greatest stories and funniest themes I ever heard was from him. He said when he was a young man, he traveled with an older preacher, which was very common in that day. During gospel meeting and everything, he said he and this preacher went to a place that he had done a gospel meeting in the year before at this location. And they went to stay at the house where he had stayed with his family before. And he said in the interim of that year, they had painted the house and they had painted over the windows so that you could not open the window on a hot summer night. You could not open the window. It sealed it. And he said, on up into the night, it was so hot and they were sweating in bed and everything. He said, the preacher there said, Brother, B.C., he said, go, get out of bed and take my shoe at the end of the bed and go over there and knock one of the window panes out. To which B.C. said, oh, I know, because it's a priceless thing in that day and time for having a window pane to be replaced. And he said, I've got the money for it. And he said, I know these people right well. And he said, they wouldn't have us to die up here in the heat. It's so hot. It's so terribly hot. Go over there and do that. So he said, he gets out of bed and he goes over and gets the shoe and he walks over and he asks him once again, are you sure? Are you sure? And he says, yes, go ahead and do it. To which he goes, raises back, and he hits it with a heel of that shoe, and glass just wham, glass just sounds like it's going everywhere. He said, the old preacher said to him, ha. He said, I feel a breeze. He says, since we're going to replace one, I may as well replace two. Go ahead and knock one other out. With that, he said, are you really sure? These things are expensive. He said, I know, but he said, I know also the guy, he'll give me a break at the hardware store here and everything. He said, it'll be all right. Go ahead and knock another one out. Let's get some relief up here. Well, he said, with that, he raises back and hits it, and glass sounds again. And he comes back to bed, and they're so tired on the day's trip and everything and all, they just drop off. And awaken the next morning, and BC said, I immediately looked out to see that broken window, and it's not broken. He said, it's just put together. He said, did that man come up here and fix that window overnight? Is that what happened? About that time, he said, he glanced over to a shiffer robe that was on the right-hand side. It was holding old china that the lady sometimes came up, she explained later, and got the plates from that and took them downstairs to utilize on the table. And he said, two of those panes were out. They were shattered and glass was all over the floor and had to be careful where he stepped to get his shoes on that morning. He said, now, I'm telling you this to say, what breeze did that old preacher feel? And everybody at Freedom Harbor, everybody laughed that occasion. What breeze did he feel? He didn't feel a breeze. It was just out of that shiffer robe is all it was. What a deal. But I loved it. Love to tell you about it. BC, good pastor, good man. Anyway, WSOJ is a place to go for the various things like that, and you'll have that on your internet site, and you'll be okay with all the other deals. I'm so thankful that we have this availability here, and that we can come to this particular site, and we can get on the internet, and we can have this in front of us. We try to back up everything, but I didn't back up today the site for C.W. Bradley and for Johnny Ramsey and their Find a Grave site. I just went to that site. It's a blessing to have you here, Brother Larry. We're glad that you're here. Introduced to everyone, this is Jeremy Thornton right in front of you. Introduce yourself and all, and his wife and all, and your wife and our good friend there. Go ahead.
Jeremy Thornton, and this is my wife, Jenny.
Jenny. Yeah, that's like that. That's it. See it.
It's Judy.
Judy.
And we've got a tag along with us today.
I'm a stowaway.
Oh, what a good thing.
I know this good brother right up here.
Yes, you do.
I couldn't put two and two together. I forgot when you were here.
Oh, at Crockett.
At Crockett.
You thought of I was always at Batesville?
Yeah.
I was third there for 5 years, and the brethren here persuaded me to come this direction. I'm glad they did.
I'm Russ Vickers. I'm a preacher. Yeah. Hillcrest Church of Christ in Baldwin, Mississippi.
Yep.
I tolerate the lots.
Indeed, you do. Good to see you today, Brother Rich.
Thank you.
Proud to have you here. If you would turn in the song book, we're going to have Larry to lead us in this song. He's a great song leader. 518. And it'll tie in from what we've heard in regard to the day and time. Our brother C.W. Bradley, this was his very favorite song, The Lord Has Been Mindful of Me. He said it described more of the day-to-day activities of his life from early years on than any other song. And he had L.O. Sanderson to write the song, and L.O. Sanderson led singing at the Wooddale Church where he preached for years and years and years of time, 18, 19 years. And Brother Sanderson wrote this song. And he inquired of him one day, did you think of me when you were writing this song? He said, I thought of you and a whole lot of others. What a deal. Let's sing this song together, and then Brother Larry will come and speak to us about Jesus and people. All right. Brother Larry?
You want me to leave that?
Yes, if you will, please. 518.
Though I through the valley of shadow or mountain of trouble see, and oft in the darkness have traveled, the Lord has been mindful of me. The Lord has been mindful of me. He blesses and blesses again. My God is the God of the living. How excellent is His name. Much more than my grief and my sorrow, much more than adversity, much more than the all I have given, the Lord has been mindful of me. The Lord has been mindful of me. He blesses and blesses again. My God is the God of the living. How excellent is His name. I'm rich, I say, I am happy. I've health and prosperity. I've friends, I have doors ever open. The Lord has been mindful of me. The Lord has been mindful of me. He blesses and blesses again. My God is the God of the living. How excellent is His name.
Brother Rush, if you would lead us in a word of prayer, please, before Larry speaks.
Father in heaven, we bow humbly before your throne of